Hare Krishna. We welcome you on the most auspicious occasion of the anniversary of the grand opening of the Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Mandir and Cultural Complex. This temple opened on Makara Sankranti in 1978. And so every year we celebrate this occasion and recall Srila Prabhupada's wonderful service to Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari in establishing this temple. The story or the history could be discussed for many days. Many volumes could be written about it. And we have only a short time. So I will try to touch on some of the highlights. Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari were one of six pairs of deities that were gifted to ISKCON by Sat Ardi Rameshwar Das Birla, and they were first worshipped at the end of the first Bombay Pandav at Cross Maidan. At the end of the Pandav program, there was a procession taking, well, it ended up at the Chopati Beach in South Bombay. And on that occasion, the worship of Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari was revealed to the people of Bombay. And for some time, they were worshipped in our center, in the Akashganga building on Warden Road. And then, when Srila Prabhupada got possession of the Hare Krishna land, the deities were brought here. We had a pandal program, and the deities were worshipped in the pandal. Then after the pandal program, we erected a very simple Shamiana, and the deities were worshipped there. But then the rainy season came, and at that time, under Srila Prabhupada's instruction, we had built a very simple hut. The first few feet maybe were brick, and then there was chattai, and then on the top was tarpaulin. So during the rainy season, we had to bring Radha Rasa Bihari into that hut and worship there. And in the meantime, we built a semi-permanent temple at the front of the lab. And on Janmashtami, pretty much toward the end of the monsoon season, we placed Sri Sri Ramadas Bihari in that shed, which was their temple until January 14, 1978. There was a whole history of struggle. In fact, Hare Krishna land is really the history of Srila Prabhupada's struggle to serve Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari. He struggled first to get the land because the owner was a cunning person who had cheated people before and seemed to have the same intention with Srila Prabhupada. Then he had to struggle to get the permission to build the temple because Mr. Nair had a lot of influence and he had friends who were influential. And so they made sure that we didn't get the permission to build the temple. And then when finally we got permission, Srila Prabhupada had to struggle to build the temple, to organize the funds, and to actually build the temple, in which we are now so comfortably seated. I'll take each struggle part by part and say a few words. But in case you don't know, Srila Prabhupada left India in 1965. And basically from 1965 to 1970, he spread the Krishna consciousness movement in America and Europe and different places throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master had ordered him to preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language throughout the world. But then in 1970, Srila Prabhupada decided to return to India to revive the Krishna consciousness. The people in India. He said that the Indians are very expert at imitating the Americans. So if they see that the Americans have taken the Krishna consciousness, they may imitate them and return to their own Krishna conscious culture. And actually, the strategy was successful. We arrived in Bombay in October of 1970, and we did Harinam Sankirtan in the streets, and people, they could not believe their eyes that white sadhus, white Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, and many of them wept tears, literally, they wept tears, seeing how their culture, their original culture, had been embraced by American and European men and women. One day we did our non-Sankirtan in front of Mantralaya, the government building. And it's a big building, big long building with many stories. And we could see that people were coming to the windows, crowding and looking at us through the windows. And some people were actually coming out of the building and surrounding us while we were chanting. And finally, some officer came to us and requested us to move the Harinam Sankirtan to some other place because nobody was doing any work. And the whole government machinery had ground to a halt. He said, we have to let the government function. So, as long as we were there, they would not leave us. So we, in the course of meeting people, to explain to them about Krishna consciousness and engage them in serving Srila Prabhupada's mission. One devotee met Mr. A.D. Nair. Mr. Nair was, he had been the sheriff of Bombay, and he owned one of the three English daily newspapers in Bombay, the Free Press Journal. So he was quite a known person. And so he gave an advertisement for a souvenir, for a pop-up program. And eventually, in December of 1970, he wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter saying that he had some land in Jewry that he would like to offer for some good cause. And he felt that Srila Prabhupada's mission was such a good cause. So they met and entered into an agreement. And according, anyway, there's a lot of details, but basically, one of the conditions of the agreement was that the sale had to be executed within 6 months. There was a condition, time is of the essence. And one of the conditions for the sale is that we had to get the permission of the charity commissioner. And as we understand the workings of certain people, Mr. Nair made sure with the charity commissioner that he would not give us the permission. So the time ran out, 6 months, and Mr. Nair, you know, took the opportunity to cancel the agreement. But Srila Prabhupada, he had some premonition that there could be difficulty. And that's why, even at the very early stage, he brought the deities onto the land. Because as it is said, possession is 9/10 of the law. And he felt that if Mother Asabihai were on the land, it would be hard to dispossess us of the land. And as I already described, they lived in very primitive conditions. His Holiness Mahā Kṛṣṇa Gosvāmī used to say that we often hear of the devotee performing austerities for the sake of the Lord. But in this case, the Lord performs austerities for the sake of the devotee, for Śrīla Prabhupāda. But it was, of course, reciprocal. And Śrīla Prabhupāda took the position that if you want the land, okay, you should return our money, because we had made a deposit. Otherwise, if you cannot return our money, if you do not wish to return our money, then give us the land and we'll give you the rest of the money. But you cannot keep both the land and the money. But it appears that that was Mr. Nair's intention. So there were many incidents. At one stage, under some influence, we canceled the agreement. It seems that there was actually a conspiracy involving our lawyer and Nair's lawyer. So our lawyers actually advised us cancel the agreement, which technically made us trespassers. So Śrīla Prabhupāda, you know, somehow we had to revive the agreement. So he arranged to meet Mr. Nair in a friend's large estate in Hyderabad. And Mr. Nair, he had this idea that Śrīla Prabhupāda had some mystic powers. So he was afraid to meet Śrīla Prabhupāda alone. So he brought his own guru, some guru, to like counteract Śrīla Prabhupāda's mystic powers. And so they were meeting with Śrīla Prabhupāda, Mr. Nair, and the guru, so called guru. And at a certain stage, the guru said to Prabhupada, "Swamiji, you look like you're very tired." And Śrīla Prabhupada, he said, "Actually, yes, I am very tired." So then the guru said, "Okay, we should leave you to take rest." So they left. And Śrīla Prabhupāda called to Mahā Kṛṣṇa Gosvāmī and told him that that guru and Mr. Nair are sleeping. He said that the psychology is, he said, "Swamiji, you seem to be very tired. But actually, it meant that he was tired. So if you go in the next room, you will find that Nair and the Guruji are asleep. So you very carefully wake up Mr. Nair and let the Guruji sleep. and bring Nair to me. So it was exactly as Srila Prabhupada said. And then Prabhupada met with Mr. Nair and used his mystic powers and made a new sales agreement. So there are many incidents. I imagine that Mr. Nair had also cheated or tried to cheat someone else earlier. It was a very similar case. He had agreed to sell the land, just the front portion, which was vacant. The rear, there were tenement buildings, to one Shantilal Mehta, who had a company, S. Charanlal and Sons. And it was very similar. He took the money deposit, and the condition of that agreement was that S. Charanlal and Sons should get permission from the municipality to subdivide the property. And apparently Mr. Nair made sure that the municipality did not give permission for the subdivision. So he canceled the agreement. Same thing, canceled the agreement and kept the money. So one day, we were actually staying at Mr. Sethi's new home. Mr. Sethi originally lived in Gauragaon. But he built a house right here in Rubuski called Vrindavan. And we had no place for Srila Prabhupada to stay, no proper place. So Mr. Sethi said that Srila Prabhupada could stay in his new house, which was not completed, but it was completed enough to be habitable. So one day Mr. Chalamal, actually his name was Mantra, but Mr. Chalamal, he came to see Srila Prabhupada because he also had his claim on the land. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, who will take the land? And he was like a really shrewd businessman, really shrewd businessman. And Prabhupada immediately said, I will take the land. And Mr. Chalamal said, and he gave an inflated figure. He said, but my claim is to last. Srila Prabhupada replied immediately, without a moment's hesitation, my claim is 5 lakhs. So it was happening so fast that in the end, Mr. Chalamal agreed that Srila Prabhupada would get the land and he would pay Mr. Chalamal some amount. And I was there to sort of receive Mr. Chalamal, you know, after the meeting I escorted him downstairs in his car. And as we were walking down the stairs after the meeting, he couldn't believe what happened. And he kept saying to me, your Guru Maharaj is paka. Your Guru Maharaj is paka. So that's sort of the way things went, and then eventually there was it was all worked out. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada was staying in like a Chetai house of an industrialist in Bombay, Mr. Katal, Chandrakant Katal's brother was Shigaram C. Katal. And so it was the time now for the signing of the conveyance. And it was like a summit meeting. It was as if, like, you know, the head of the free world and the head of the communist bloc were coming together to sign some treaty. And the registrar, we needed the registrar of documents to come. He came, we didn't insist that we go to the king's office. And it was very hushed and silent. And so Mrs. Nair signed, Srila Prabhupada signed, and Mrs. Nair was weeping, and that was it. Then Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, now we will begin the building fund." And Mrs. Sethi, she had some gold bangles, some gold jewelry, so she took off her gold bangles and gave them to Srila Prabhupada. So this is to begin the building fund. And there are a few, I don't know where they came from, but few firecrackers, not very impressive, but a few little firecrackers were set off. And Srila Prabhupada said we should serve a feast, so the devotees had prepared. But we're only talking about like maybe 20 people. We were quite small at that time, in a way, especially out here. So there was a feast. And then afterwards, Srila Prabhupada went back into his room. He leaned back on the bolsters of his asana. And he put his knee up and he said, "It was a good fight." And then he said, "Someone should write a book about it." So that's a very brief summary of part one. So we'll end and say Hare Krishna, and then we'll talk about part two. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari ki jai. Coming. Yeah, I didn't need that book. That's true. So now, the permission to build. We could not get permission to build the temple because Mr. Nair's allies or accomplices, they just made sure that we didn't get permission. And so one day, I mean, we did have, anyway, there's too much to say, too little time, but I'll come right to the point. We were trying to meet people to get support, and we just could not get support. And the one of the conditions in getting the permission was an NOC, no objection certificate, from the police. And the police commissioner issued a letter refusing the permission, saying that the Bhajans that have been a nuisance in the small temple would likely become an even bigger nuisance in a large temple. So on that basis, he refused permission. So it was during the time of the Mayapur Vrindavan festival that Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And when he got the news, he was furious that they would call Kirtan a nuisance. So he said, all right, all if you want to bring the devotees from Vrindavan to Bombay to protest. So they came Srila Prabhupada eventually wrote a letter to the police commissioner. And in the letter, he quoted the Bhagavad Gita, Satyatam Kirtayam Toma, how it's recommended to do kirtan all the time. And how, Namam Bhusri Tanamunha Prapandate Garadamaha. Miscreants, they're against Krishna. They never surrender to Krishna, but they're against Krishna. So in this letter, Srila Prabhupada appealed to the police commissioner to protect us from these Viradamas and Mudhas and give the permission. So I would go down and check. I hand delivered the letter, and then I would go and check. And I met the commissioner's secretary. The commissioner was available. And the secretary said that the commissioner said that was the most brilliant letter that he had ever received. But still he didn't give the NOC. Because there was a whole conspiracy. So finally, I don't know if we got some hint that the chief minister would be favorable, or whether we just were desperate and didn't see any other alternative. But one day, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami and I went down to the same government building. And it was really just taking a chance. We went to the chief minister's chambers, and there's so many secretaries and security, and we said we wanted to meet the chief minister, Sri S.B. Chavan, Shankaran Chavan. Somehow, he agreed to meet us. And we didn't have to speak much at all. Somehow, he was aware of what was going on. And he had an idea on his own that actually we were being victims of some conspiracy. So it turned out that this desire's main ally who's the local corporator from this area. Somehow he had been in the ear of the Home Secretary of Maharashtra. Home Secretary is a very powerful position. The Chief Secretary and the Home Secretary, they're the two main secretaries. And somehow we had convinced him we were CIA and all sorts of things, and that it was that it would be a security threat to give permission to build a temple. So right in our presence, the chief minister phoned the Home Secretary, because the police commissioner comes under the Home Department. So he phoned the Home Secretary in our presence. And we don't know exactly what the Home Secretary was saying. I'm sure he was giving all sorts of reasons why the permission should be refused. And we heard the Chief Minister tell him, are these people the culprits? Or are you the culprit? And that was it. You know, he made a decision. They get the permission. And it was amazing, like the word spread in no time at all that the chief minister is supporting the project. And then all these government offices we go to, and everyone was very sort of mean and nasty and rude. They all became very accommodating and very obliging. It was amazing. So we got the permission to build the temple. But then, you know, how to build the temple. We had our own devotee, Saurabh, who had built the Vrindavan temple. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't really satisfied with the quality of the construction in Vrindavan. And he was encouraging me to find an alternative. There's very unusual structure. I mean, you know, the regular type of builders don't usually build temples like this. And the general, I don't know about now, but the general construction in Bombay was quite poor. Most of the buildings looked very old after 30 years. And so this is also Radharasa Bihari's mercy, or Srila Prabhupada's mercy, that one Sunday a life member came to our small little temple shed to attend a program and have a prasad. And he turned out, his name was Om Prakash Dheer. He turned out to be the chief engineer of ECC, which is like the construction division of Larsen and Toubro. And there was construction going on, and he looked at it and he said, this is very poor quality, you're going to have trouble in the future. So I said, well, what to do? He said, well, by the standards of these, they would do like huge civil engineering jobs, dams, huge bridges, very major projects. And our budget was not much. He said, by their standards, it's a very small project. They ordinarily wouldn't take it up. But I'll request them, and, you know, it's a, be like a prestigious project, so they might agree. So they did agree, and we had to redo the foundation. It had a lot of, it was, to say, typical substandard construction. So they used very sophisticated process to strengthen it. And they took it up. And they really did, a good job. But then we were, and I think it's proper, actually. They were ahead of the work, so to speak. We were behind in the payments. And so they started to get, as the construction was nearing the end, they started to get a little heavy with us. You know, unless you pay, we're not going to finish the work. So Srila Prabhupada felt that we couldn't handle this ourselves. So he had a friend who was a very shrewd and intelligent businessman, Brijratana Mohota. He had actually been the wealthiest man in West Pakistan. And his home, Mota Mahal, it was like a palace. After the partition, that was given to Muhammad Ali Jinnah. And so anyway, so Srila Prabhupada called Mr. Mota and he said, you know, I want you to deal with ECC, Engineering and Construction. And, you know, you, whatever, you keep the checkbook, whatever. Mr. Mota said, well, I can do it, but your people who are doing it now, they might feel it. Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that's a good point. He said, okay, we'll let them do everything as they're doing. But I'll tell them they should only make payment if you approve. So that was the arrangement. So it went on like that, and we maintained that difference. So at the end of the construction, we still owed them 3 lakhs of rupees. I mean, now the rupee is 3 lakhs. Much, but in those days it was a lot, like 3 crores. So, but we had Mr. Deer, he was with them. I don't know if he was, I don't think he was part of the board, but when they discussed us, he was in the meeting because he was the chief engineer. And the head of the company was Mr. Oklas. It seems that he's quite a visionary and quite a good man. So the other directors, you know, they owe us the 3 lakhs, they're not paid, and we should, you know, send them legal notice and like that. But Mr. Oklas, he said, you know, they're doing good work. Why don't we just forgive it? So, I don't know if they actually officially excused us, but we were getting all the inside information from this year. And we knew we didn't have to pay it, so it just ended up. And I'm sure he got credit. You know, there were a lot of people who opposed us along the way, and they got their reactions, and there were a lot of people who helped Srila Prabhupada, and they would have gotten their blessings, and probably still are getting their blessings. So that was the construction. And then the opening, now coming to the opening, originally, Srila Prabhupada, we were thinking of different dates. And at one stage, Srila Prabhupada thought of Ramani Jayadasani. But we weren't really, couldn't really be ready by then. But Srila Prabhupada didn't want to delay the opening, so somehow we thought of this Makara Sankranti. Srila Prabhupada left on December 14, 1977. He couldn't be here physically for the opening, but he gave all instructions how to do it. And then the opening was on January 14th, exactly 2 months later. From a certain point of view, we wanted him to be here, but such was not the case. But we very much felt his spiritual presence. We didn't have a deity of him then, but we had a nice portrait, I think the same one that's hanging in his quarters. And there was a very big news article in Newsweek magazine, either Time or Newsweek. And those days, the magazines had all been black and white, and they were just starting to add a few pages of color. And in that particular issue of Newsweek, I'm saying Newsweek, it might have been Time, they had a two-page color spread of the opening of the temple. There was very festive Harinam Sankirtan on Juhu Beach with flags and devotees. Prabhupada had devotees come from all over the world. And there was a picture of the diorama of Srila Prabhupada under the tree in Tompkins Square Park. And the caption was something like, from rags to riches. That was their angle. He began under a tree in New York City, and now we have this magnificent temple of Juno. And it was a great event. For the opening, there was some, I won't get into the ritualistic aspect, but at the opening ceremony, there were three, quite prominent political leaders. The main one was the Union Minister of Health, Raj Narayan. He was quite a character. He was quite a character. In his talk, he said that just as Krishna was born in the prison house of Kamsa, so the Janata Party was born in the prisons of Indira Gandhi's administration. He tried to bring his little political message. And then there was Vasandada Patil. He was the chief minister of Maharashtra. And Prabhudas Patwari, who was the governor of Tamil Nadu. So there was a line, they sat here. And we also wanted to honor Shri D.D. Desai. He was a member of parliament, and he had helped some devotees. He helped His Holiness Devadatta Swami Maharaj become an Indian citizen. And, although the deities are, as you see, but we did feel, you know, it'd be nice to have something on Sri Ganji. And so that painting of Sri Ganji, that was sort of like unveiled by Sri Didi Desai, the father of Dr. M.P. Desai, Sri Ganji Das. And yeah, it was a great occasion. So yeah, the decorations were great. They had like strands of marigolds coming out from the central chandelier going all the sides. This is quite a momentum. Prasad. But Srila Prabhupada, he said something very interesting, which was that actually I was not so eager about this land. But because I had invited Sri Sri Radharasa Hari, I could not bear the thought that they would be driven away. It would have been a great insult. Because he had sort of made a promise to them, as he said, if my dear sir, you come and stand here, sit here, and I will arrange a temple for you. So, it was internally, it was really his like service to Radharasa Bihari, his promise to them, his devotion to them, that they should not be driven away from this land, but they should get their temple. One little story, maybe not so directly related, but I'll just mention that when the construction was going on, the famous singer George Harrison came to visit. And I never met him before. He was really an extraordinary person. So I was taking him around and showing him the construction. And he was very much appreciating the work and encouraging us. And then 12:30 came. And, you know, we heard the conch shells for the arch. So we came to that little temple. Shed, and George picked up some instruments. He was just singing. Just recently, like a year ago, I never could have remembered who the pujari was, but the pujari was a very sweet devotee named Puri Das from Scotland. And, you know, I met him in Los Angeles. We were talking, and somehow it came up. He was the pujari during that bhakti. And you know, he was like offering the lamb, and then he turned around and he saw George Harrison. And he said, his hand was trembling so much. He was afraid that the ghee lamb was going to like fall off the plate completely. But yeah, so then, yeah, so he joined the Archie, he sang, played instruments. So then it was arranged that he would get Mahaprasad. And Srila Prabhupada was in Juli then. So we took him to Srila Prabhupada's quarters at Prasad. And then we left them. And I went back to my little office. So maybe 2 hours later, can't say for sure. So this young man, I don't know how old he was, maybe chapter 12 is quite punchy. He was from the Balia's house, the Hare Krishna house. And so he came up to my office, little office in the back, and he said, "I heard George Harrison is here." So I said, "Yes." He said, "I want to see him." So I said, "Well, you can't. He's meeting with Srila Prabhupada now." And he looked at me, this like pudgy little boy. He looked at me through his glasses. He was like sizing me up. And he concluded that he wasn't going to get anywhere with me. He's standing there looking at me. And then he just suddenly turned around and bolted down the stairs. Ran very quickly down the stairs. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to find it. He's determined. He's going to try to find him and go there. So I started bounding down the stairs in hot pursuit. But I couldn't make it in time. So as I was getting to the top of the stairs, he already opened the door. And George Harrison was sitting there, cross-legged with his back very erect, just like a yogi. It's like just like the perfect disciple at the feet of the master. And at the time I was like so, I was just so upset that he interrupted them. But maybe it was the time, maybe it was Krishna's arrangement. So they ended their meeting, you know, George was very, very gracious. Prabhupada was very affectionate to him. So yeah, I wonder where that boy is now. Lunch arenas. I'd like to congratulate him for getting through. So I think our time is up, sort of. We will, of course, be meeting again in the evening. There will be Abhishek and then more talks. But do any of you have any questions or comments? Another book, Goswami Das. Was there a microphone?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We are living blessed to have you here. The whole atmosphere is transformed back in 1978, the moon, because of your talking about the glories of Radha's struggle. My question is that the struggling of the conditioned soul is eternal. Can we get the taste of the holy name in spite of all the struggles?
Well, that's a good question. Can we get a taste for the holy name in spite of all the struggles? Well, really, bhakti means to please Krishna. Pure devotee has no selfish desire. Of course, it's good to want to have taste for the holy name. But the ultimate goal is to please Krishna. And at one stage, Tamal Krishna Goswami told Srila Prabhupada that he was very disturbed by all these complications. And he said, like, he's so disturbed, like, he can't even chant properly. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I know how you feel because I feel the same way. So transcendental anxiety, see, like impersonalists, you know, they want peace, shanti, shanti, merge, become one. But devotees, they struggle. You know, they're, like I remember, His Holiness Bhakti Sukhdamadhar Swami Maharaj, he said to Srila Prabhupada that, I have just one department, the I, and there are always so many problems and so many difficulties. And you have the whole worldwide movement. I can't even imagine how you deal with all those problems. And Srila Prabhupada replied, problems? I don't see any problems. I just see service to my Guru Maharaj. So we condition bhaktas. You know, we want things to be comfortable and pleasant. But pure devotee, he has no conditions. He just wants to serve his spiritual master, Krishna. So there was one incident just at that point of transcendental anxiety. Srila Prabhupada had gone to East Africa and he got a report that there was a conspiracy. It wasn't, anyway, like our site supervisor and the storekeeper, which is like a father-in-law and son-in-law. So there should have been like some checks and balances, but they were sort of together. And it seems they also involved the next-door neighbor. So what they were doing is they were taking construction material, and there's just a little low wall at that time, throwing the construction material over the wall into the neighbor's property, and they were stealing the construction material. So Srila Prabhupada somehow got this news in Nairobi. We didn't know what was going on, but he was in Nairobi. He knew what was going on. And he wasn't eating. And one of his disciples in Nairobi asked Srila Prabhupada, you're not eating. Is there something the matter? And Srila Prabhupada replied, how can I eat when my construction materials are being stolen, when my property is being stolen? It's Krishna's property. So that is transcendental anxiety on the liberated platform. And but certainly by taking risks for Krishna, by sacrificing for Krishna, one gets mercy and does get taste. Like there's that Nasa Prayeshu of Madhureshu Nishin Bhagavad Seva, by serving the book Bhagavad or the person Bhagavad, all that is troublesome to the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil. And firm devotional service to Krishna becomes established as an irrevocable fact. And yeah, Sian Mahat Sevayamitra Vasudeva Kataviji, by serving a Mahatma, like Srila Prabhupada, one develops Ruchi. So it comes, but in the midst of it, you might not experience it, because you're fighting the battle. But you will get the result, you will get mercy, and that mercy will manifest in taste. Yes. I think it was the other way, that because the devotees were focused on Srila Prabhupada, they could tolerate all the difficulties. There's one story, a little humorous in a way, but Srila Prabhupada had a friend named Dr. Patel, Dr. C.P. Patel. I hope you all listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures and conversations. So there are many walks, morning walks on Guru Beach with Srila Prabhupada and Dr. Patel. So Dr. Patel, he was a little proud because he had studied in England at a time when very few people from India could study in England. But not only was he qualified as a doctor, but he had maintained his strict principles, like, you know, no bleeding, no intoxicants, you know. And he knew Sanskrit. He was a little proud. But he was very impressed by the devotees. I remember when he came, he also, like, he couldn't believe that we're living in such primitive conditions coming from America. So he got inspired to take up a collection of cloth, of cotton, to make, because as I mentioned, we're a very small group. So he was going to make 12 mattresses, 12 blankets, 12 mosquito nets, maybe even 12 little pillows. So he went to MJ Market, Wolfie J. Market, and he was like begging cloth and cotton. So he put together these sets and he brought them. And, you know, the devotees used them, but as it happens, one by one, items started to disappear. So after a while, there were maybe 9 mattresses, 10 mosquito nets, 7 blankets, and so gradually it was reduced more and more, and eventually there was nothing left. There wasn't even one thread left from Dr. Patel's donation. So he was upset, because it was a big thing for him to go and thank for these materials. And he was, this is also a subtle thing about him. It was hard to tell whether he was a Vaishnava or a Mayavad. Prabhupada would accuse him of being a Mayavad, but he would deny it. He'd say, no, sir, I'm a Vaishnava. But he had that. There was some inclination towards that. Many people have that. So he brought it up on the morning walk, that I gave this donation and now there's nothing left. And Srila Prabhupada said, do you know why there's nothing left? Because that mukti that you're so eager to get, that mukti, all my disciples, they already have that mukti. Therefore, they don't care whether they have a mattress or not. They don't care whether they have a mosquito net or not. They don't care if they have a blanket or not. Because they're liberated. Prabhupada was like glorifying us and at the same time trying to like put Dr. Patel in his place. Now we know as devotees there's also Yukta Vairagya. But Prabhupada wasn't emphasizing that point, but he said, you know, you're so eager for mukti, they're already mukti. But that was what he said, that all they are interested in is serving their Guru Maharaj. They're not interested in all these other things. So that's why I say it's more that because they were focused on Srila Prabhupada that they could tolerate all these difficulties. Those were saved. And more than how did they maintain their focus? But there were a few, I guess they couldn't maintain their focus when they left. But the ones who stayed, it was because of that focus on Srila Prabhupada. So, the daughter they could chant the holy name and do some service for the spiritual master, that was all. And I remember one year I spoke about how we had there like so many mosquitoes, and then the Bombay rats. You know about the Bombay rats? They're huge. And no, really, they're not like little rats like that. They're huge. And their specialty is when you're asleep, they can bite into you and you don't feel it. But in the morning you wake up and there's like this pool of blood. So we had Bombay rats, we had mosquitoes, we had everything. But we had Srila Prabhupada. And I had thought of these things before, but it's like Queen Kunti, that she prayed to Krishna, let all those calamities come again and again, because in the midst of those calamities, we could see your lotus feet. And by seeing your lotus feet, you never have to see the repetition of birth and death. So, if I could have those mosquitoes and Bombay rats, with Srila Prabhupada, I would take it again 100 times. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for reminding the old days. I'm eagerly waiting for that group when it will come. And it was the first time about that coconut for some the house in Prabhupada, you know. And then when they were digging the foundation, then even for piling, so they were putting my stone and then piling another thing.
Yeah. Well, there's so many. Well, the last one he mentioned, this is about the construction. That in this area near the ocean especially, one would expect the soil to be quite soft and sandy. and not strong enough to support the columns for the structure. So, generally, just to make sure, one does a soil test. And they bring equipment and they drill down and they see how far they have to go to reach solid ground. So Srila Prabhupada said, we don't need piles. Piles are like a column that go deep under the ground to where it's solid. And then that supports the foundation. Problem is we don't need piles. So we don't need to do any soil testing. But you know, faith, even now it's a big like question, faith. To what extent do we accept Prabhupada as authority in the complex of the others? So you know, Prabhupada said it, but there was some doubt. And, you know, Mr. Sethi, he was like sort of overseeing the construction. He felt we have to do a soil test because we can't take chances. They brought the equipment, they were drilling down, and very soon they hit such hard rock that the drill broke. And then Mr. Sethi, it was one of those incidents where he felt like, yes, Srila Prabhupada knows everything. So that was one incident. What were the other ones? Oh, Rahu, the coconut wall. Well, this, yes. So as I mentioned, Srila Prabhupada felt, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law, so that was why he wanted to bring Radharasa Bihari even before the land was transferred in his name. And but still Mr. Nair was determined to get us to leave the land. So he began a campaign of harassment to get us to leave. And back then we had so many coconut trees, about 140 coconut trees. So Mr. Nair, like, he engaged this man named Rahu. We used to call him Rahu the coconut wall. And he was like strong, you know, physically strong. And he would grab this like a machete, like a knife. And he would stand at the front of the land at the temple, like showing this knife to keep people from coming to the temple. And also to intimidate devotees. And then he would do other things. He would have the electricity turned off. He was really trying to force us to leave. So one skipping ahead, but I'm sure you'll appreciate this. So one day I was out preaching. Yeah, at that time, anyway, so, you know, there would be vendors with newspapers and magazines on the footpath. So I remember I was at Metro Cinema, there was some vendors, and I just happened to look down, and I saw this huge banner headline in the Free Press Journal. With Mr. Nair's picture, bold lettering, A.B. Nair is dead. So within my, at that time, I should mention it because it is relevant. We were staying, that same Mr. Valia, P.G. Valia, he had an apartment at Kolada that was available. And it was really, this was like a war zone to him. And most of our work was downtown, so it was convenient for us to be there. So I saw this headline. And within my heart, I felt jubilant. I actually felt like dancing right then and there. But I thought, you know, is this proper? I mean, we're supposed to be devotees. Is this proper? But that's how I felt. Meanwhile, you know, the news reached Juhu, and I heard, this did upset Mrs. Nair, but I heard that the devotees were, well, that was her complaint, that the devotees were distributing sweets. So now what to do? We had to inform Srila Prabhupada. But I didn't have that relationship. I mean, I was president here, I didn't have that relationship where I would phone him. But there was a very senior devotee named Bali Mardan who was visiting Bombay, so he phoned. And he got Srila Prabhupada's servant, by the way, was Shruti Kirti, who was then. And Srila Prabhupada was taking his massage. Actually, almost never phoned Srila Prabhupada, he even sent a telegram, it was all by letter. But anyway, Shruti Kirti delivered the news to Srila Prabhupada. And this is a little confidential, but I think the cameras are on. Srila Prabhupada folded his hands and he said, "Thank you, Lord Vishnu. Thank you, Lord Vishnu. Thank you, Lord Vishnu." And then he said, "Actually, I was praying for this because he was causing too much difficulty to the devotees." But we heard that later. Then in the meantime, Srila Prabhupada sent a letter to two other really good devotees, they're not here in the older generation, Dr. Singhal and Mrs. Singhal. So he sent them a letter. "This is very good news that the demon Nair is dead." And then he quoted Prahlad Maharaj. He said, "Prahlad Maharaj says that even saintly persons, sadhus, even saintly persons take pleasure when a snake or a scorpion is killed." So that was like a confirmation that our feelings were appropriate. And the story of that verse was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrsimhadev. Because after Lord Nrsimhadev killed Hiranyakasipu, nothing could pacify him. I hope you're all reading Srila Prabhupada's books. This is the seventh canto. Nothing could pacify him. And so So not Brahma, not Lakshmi, no one. So even a saintly person takes pleasure when a snake or a scorpion is killed. In other words, don't worry that I'm upset because you killed my father. But even a saintly person is pleased when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So these things are very hard for ordinary people to understand. Mostly people are impersonalists, so they feel like, you know, you should love everyone. Well, we do. Vaishnavas do love everyone. But they express their love in different ways. Of course, even Nishimadeva is God. He loves everyone, loves her in the custody. But they deal with them according to how people deal with them. And Srila Prabhupada instructed one of his managers that, and Prabhupada often said it, and I watched on YouTube, he would often say that if someone is straightforward with you, you should be most upright and straightforward with him. And if someone is very crooked and cunning with you, you should be even more cunning than he is. So he instructed one of the managers that we should be so expert in our dealings that when they are finished with us, they go and tell their friends that these Hare Krishna people may look like fools, but actually they're very smart and don't mess with them.
Maharaj, thank you. Thank you. As I always say to you, when I think of this place, in my mind, having visited here for many years, I always think of you. So, although you downplay your own position in this whole story, actually, and we can't separate Krishna's devotees from Krishna. We cannot separate Prabhupada's men in different places from Prabhupada. So, if you study Prabhupada's letters, you see that he's always writing to you about what is happening here, and he considered you his man here. So I just want to, on behalf of Prabhupada and your lordships, thank you for your selfless service.
Anyway, I will only that well, Prabhupada said that the Jugus by Guru Kshatra and Guru Raj is like our Arjuna. But I don't know if that refers to the heroic Arjuna who was slaying the enemies, or to the coward Arjuna who kept wanting to leave the battlefield. But he didn't say that. Yeah. All right, well, thank you all very much. We look forward to seeing you in the evening. Then I'm hoping to give a class again. I'm planning to give a class again Sunday morning. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.